tour, and we will have an introduction of our lives first to start off. So we're deviating a little bit from the agenda.
Honor guard, attention. Honor guard, advance. Honor guard, post your colors. Honor guard, back to positions. Honor guard, honor your colors. Please join me with the Pledge of Allegiance and the Texas Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Honor guard. Attention! Honor guard, dismiss.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Gritzy.
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Here.
Mr. Medina.
Present.
Mrs. Quintana.
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs. Searles.
Here.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Here.
At this time, we'll also be deviating from the agenda and be calling for open forum. Do we have anybody signed up for open forum?
Yes, ma'am, we do. We have two speakers. And the first, Madam President, is Heather Plata, librarian at Damian Elementary.
My name is Heather Plata. I am the librarian at Damian Elementary School. And I just wanted to speak very briefly about the importance of having a librarian at every school in our district. We want to be a premier district in Texas, and even in the United States would be wonderful, but we can't do that without having a librarian at every school. Numerous studies have showed the importance of having certified librarians at every school. And one of these studies showed that reading scores go down when districts cut librarians, regardless of any other cuts they make. Even classroom teachers did not have the same impact on reading scores that the loss of a librarian had in those states. I'd be happy to show you that research if you are interested. So I just wanted to come before you today and just tell you the importance, not just because it's my job and I love it, but because I love our students and I want them to succeed, and I want to give them every advantage possible to do that. And I feel like having, not me necessarily, but a certified librarian at every school will give them an advantage that they would not have otherwise. Thank you.
Madam President, the second...
I'm Lisa Alda, and I'm the part-time librarian at Deanna Davenport Elementary and Bell Childress Elementary. I was a full-time librarian at Bell Childress Elementary for 5 years prior to that. This year, at the beginning of the year in August, they called me in, and they had me sign a contract that said I would be half-time at Bell Childress Elementary and half-time at Deanna Davenport. They recently have said that it was only a temporary fix, but that's not what my contract said. I want to emphasize that it is really important to have a librarian. The enrichment that we provide as librarians is fantastic. We are the key holders to reading, and we're the ones that make reading fun. We're the ones that do the extra activities. We're the ones that enrich their lives with the things that they don't have time for in a regular curriculum. The curriculum is very stringent in the classroom. They don't have time to do those extra extension activities. That's where I come in. I'm the one who does the Read Across America, the Pajama Nights, the Dr. Seuss Celebration, the Piggy and Elephant Party, any of those activities. You can see our students back there. They were their Canopio Middle School students. Do you all remember me?
Yeah.
And I enjoyed every single one of them. It's important to have a full-time librarian. As it stands right now, I see the students, I'm at each school approximately 18 hours with travel and lunch. I can't make the impact on the students that I need to with that amount of time. The people of the children and the people of Vinton and Westway are being cheated. If for some reason the new librarian position that is on section 5, letter D, new business is not approved, you are not only cheating the community of Camacuio, but you are cheating the children of Camacuio Independent School District. Thank you so very much.
Yes, ma'am. Item number 2, board honors.
If the board would like to proceed to the front so that we can... I'm sorry, because we deviated from the agenda, we missed an item. Can Mr. Medina and Ms. Gonzalez read the mission and vision statement?
The vision statement. Canopio ISD is a premier school district with nationally ranked multi-literate graduates ready to excel in college, their careers, their community, and in life.
Thank you, Ms.
Mission statement. Canopio ISD's purpose is to provide high-quality educational experiences that will inspire and prepare all students to apply the knowledge and skills necessary to become effective leaders and effective citizens.
So now we will move on to board honors. Can the board please proceed to the front? Thank you. Tonight, we'd like to recognize some talented, hardworking student athletes from Canopio Middle School. The 7th grade CMS football team earned the title of Little 13 Conference Champions after they defeated the top team in the East Division and finished conference play with a record of 7 wins and 1 loss this season. Under the leadership of coaches Enrique Castaños, John Everett, and Michael Dominguez, and the support of their parents and campus community, these Eagles are true examples of Canopio excellence.
And I'd like to add their athletic director, Coach John Ross.
And I'll add 2 other coaches, Coach Pettis and Coach Ayala.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Let's get another item later. I know, I was waiting for you to know. I asked her, was she going to know what she did? She didn't know. Coach.
Stop it! I'm going!
And that concludes our board honors.
Sonia, next item, please.
Yes, ma'am. Item number 4, Board of Trustee Business A. So district recognition of outgoing trustees Leticia Gonzalez and Adrian Medina.
Two beloved members of our community are ending their service with the Canotillo ISD Board of Trustees tonight. Leticia Gonzalez and Adrian Medina have courageously served on the board to improve the lives of the students of Canotillo. Their decision making on the board was driven by their mission to have the best interest of the district in mind. Mrs. Gonzalez was elected in 2008 and served two terms, as a member of the Board of Trustees. She was recently elected Vice President and has also served as Secretary of the Board. Ms. Gonzalez is a longtime former employee of Canotillo ISD and, having also worked at EPISD, has been a school district employee for about 30 years. She brought her knowledge and understanding in the area of curriculum and instruction to help meet the various needs of students and teachers. She always strove for excellence in her service as a board member. For her 8 years of service to CISD, we recognize School Board Trustee Leticia Gonzalez.
Point out her son is right now serving for the United States Navy, going through basic training in Great Lakes. So thank
be
you.
Be proud of her.
Adrian Angel Medina.
I'd like to say something about Ms. Gonzalez. You know, some of us have given a lot, but there are two ladies that gave all for this school district. And Ms. Gonzalez, we're going to miss you so much. I can barely speak because I want to cry. You gave up everything to serve the children of the district and to serve with integrity and honesty and truth. And we appreciate you. Every citizen in this community appreciates what you've done for us. Thank you. It's been an honor.
Adrian Angel Medina was elected to the Board of Trustees in 2012. Mr. Medina grew up in Canotillo and graduated from Canotillo High School in 1992. Through the years, he has been involved in various advisory committees in the district, including the District Advisory Council and the Community Bond Accountability Committee. Mr. Medina's experience in media and technology was instrumental in bringing new initiatives to the district, such as the Canotillo Mobile App. His passion for our schools and community are exemplary of Canotillo pride. For his 4 years of service to CISD, we recognize School Board Vice President Adrian Medina. So if any of the Board of Trustees would like to say a few words, you may do so now.
First of all, I want to thank God for the privilege of allowing me to serve for the last 8 years. Please keep in mind that we are here to serve, not to be served. Second, as board members, we're like a second family, and we have been through many ups and downs. Okay, a lot of downs. It doesn't matter if you have 5 friends or 5,000 friends. When it all comes down to it, popularity means nothing. All that matters is that you know those 5 will be there holding your hand as the 5,000 walk by. Keep in mind, we're not here to do favors or to please someone. And it says here, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Colossians 3:23. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. And these are not my words. This is Proverbs 6:16-19. And lastly, a memory lasts forever. Never will it die. True friends stay together and never say goodbye. God bless all of you, and please keep doing a job for the best interest of the kids, the staff, the community, taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Best way to put it in, 3 meetings in, we got rid of our superintendent. We never looked back. Some have left, and the people that I see up there and whoever is going to replace is really the ones that are going to set the pace for the future of Canutillo. I just have nothing but great memories. Yes, we've had our downs and our ups and more downs. But I will say that it is about serving, not to be served, and that rings true. And to clean out your filters, let the past move on. Once you've done and voted, move on. I think this community deserves it. We have such opportunity in our hands, and I've had the privilege to serve on this. And honestly, if anybody is deserving of recognition, is not just the elected officials, the staff that work and make sure that we're informed. I don't think that they get the recognition that they really truly deserve. And I just want to say thank you.
Before we move on to the item to canvass the results of the election that was just held, I'm not sure if anybody knows this, probably the students do. It's Dr. Galavis' birthday. So, you want to wish him a happy birthday?
We're going to keep reminding you, sir.
He's entering the ripe old age of 40.
Right.
We have a video that the staff would like to show. I've seen it, it's very nice.
Happy birthday, Dr. Donald. I'm Dr. Donald. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
And administrators and teachers and staff, we want to wish you a very, very happy birthday. We love you and we hope that you have a wonderful day.
I'd like to wish you a happy birthday, Dr. Galaviz. Thank you for all your support.
This is Silvestre Reyes and
Carolina Reyes.
Wishing Dr. Galaviz a very happy birthday.
Many more. Dr. Galaviz, I want to wish you a happy, happy birthday to you. May all your wishes come true. Thank you for all the generosity that you have brought to our district. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dr. Galaviz. I know 60 is a big number. Over 59. So you know what? You keep up whatever you're doing to keep up that youthfulness. You know, pass the secrets along to us. You know, I wish the best for you. Happy birthday. You know, it broke my heart to see the Packers lose the other day. But I know they're coming back next week. Happy birthday. Have a wonderful day.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Mr.
Galaviz. Happy birthday, Mr. Galaviz.
Happy birthday, Dr. Galaviz.
Happy birthday, Dr. Galaviz.
Hey, boss. Happy birthday. I hope you party like a rock star, and hopefully we'll be celebrating not just your birthday, but a big win at area championship. Happy birthday, boss. Thanks for all you do.
Happy birthday, Mr. Galaviz. I appreciate everything you do for our school district. You do a lot. You bring a lot of good to the school, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Mr. Galaviz, and go Broncos. Happy birthday, boss. Go Cowboys.
Thank you.
B, consider and take action to canvass the results of general director's election of November 8, 2016.
Thank you. Board President Fitzy, Dr. Galavis, members of the board, Steve Blanco, new counsel for the district, and we have received the results from the November 8th election. So we have several items that we'll take up to accept the results and then prepare and sign off on the required documents. We are honored tonight to have with us Judge Gonzalo Garcia from the 210th District Court in El Paso. Judge Garcia will be administering the oaths in just a moment. First item of business, though, is for us to take up and canvass the election results. The results are as follows. Rachel M. Quintana with 3,216 votes. Annette R. Brigham, 2,733 votes. Armando Rodriguez, 2,468 votes. Blanca Trout, 2,205 votes. And with those vote totals, those four individuals have successfully been elected to the at-large positions on the KU2 ISD Board of Trustees. Do any of the board members have any questions about the vote totals? If not, then what we would do, I would entertain a motion from the board to accept the canvas of the vote totals that I have just read them.
So moved.
I second.
There was a motion and a second. Ms. Fritzy.
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Yes.
Mr. Medina.
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mrs. Searles.
Yes.
Mrs. Iglesias.
Yes.
Motion passes. Item C, consider and take action on quorum certificate of order canvassing the election results of the general trustees election of November the 8th, 2016.
Thank you. I'm going to read into the record the order, and then we will vote on the order. It must be approved. An order by the KU2 Independent School District Board of Trustees canvassing returns and declaring election results. Whereas the KU2 Independent School District Board of Trustees duly authorized an election to be held within the school district on Tuesday, November 8, 2016, for the purpose of submitting to qualified voters in the school district the election for members of the Board of Trustees for four at-large positions. And whereas the election for the four at-large positions was conducted by the county elections administrator, who has duly made the return of the results thereof, and said returns have been delivered to this Board of Trustees, and whereas the Board of Trustees finds and declares that the meeting at which this order is considered is open to the public as required by law, and that public notice of the time, place, and purpose of the meeting was given as required by Section 551.001 of the Texas Government Code. Now, therefore, be it ordered by the KU2 Independent School District Board of Trustees, one, it is officially found and determined that the election was duly ordered, that the proper notice thereof was duly given, that the proper election officers were duly appointed prior to said election, that the election was duly and lawfully held, and that due returns of the result of said election have been made and delivered, and that this Board of Trustees has duly canvassed the returns, all in accordance with the law and order calling for the election. It is officially found and determined that the following votes were cast for the candidates for the positions for the Board of Trustees by qualified voters of the school district as follows. Rachel M. Quintana, 3,216 votes. Annette R. Brigham, 2,733 votes. Dion Dorado, 723 votes. Blanca Trout, 2,205 votes. Armando Rodriguez, 2,468 votes. Camilo A. Ayub, 705 votes. James Tidwell, 1,564 votes. Adrian Angel Medina, 1,505 votes. Alfonso Flores Jr., 1,836 votes. Lynn A. Fatter, 2,043 votes. As a result of the election and in conformity with the law, this Board of Trustees hereby declares that the following persons receive the highest number of votes for the four at-large positions and are elected as members of this Board of Trustees: Rachel M. Quintana, Annette R. Brigham, Blanca Trout, and Armando Rodriguez. Thank you. this time, I would entertain an order approving and accepting this, I would entertain a motion approving and accepting this order and the certificate of order that will go with it.
So moved.
I second.
There was a motion and a second. Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item D, issue certificate of election to newly elected trustees, complete statement of elected officer, and oath of office for elected trustees.
If I could have a board president, Ritzy, if you could come to the front, please. And Ms. Quintana, you are first.
Sisters up there. Are we doing separate or?
Yeah, we're doing separate. That way, family can.
No. Okay, this time I'll turn it over to Judge Garcia, who's going to be administering the oath to the elected officials.
Good evening. And I'd like to thank the board members and, of course, the people of Canseco and the faculty and Dr. Melavis for allowing me the opportunity to go ahead and administer these oaths to these distinguished members and new members, several of new members of the Board of Trustees. First of all, I'd like to just comment on the fact that I am a Canseco graduate of 1972. That was when there was only one. There was one school, and that was the old school, the elementary and the junior high and the high school were at the same location there in Canseco. And that's where I went to school. That's where I graduated from. And it's been a pleasure and an honor to not only be a graduate of the Canseco Independent School District and the high school, but also as a member of the community of Canseco, and with my roots firmly established here in Canseco, I have nothing but the utmost heartfelt humility and love for this community. And believe me, my father served on this board, and I am aware of the ups and downs that you all encounter. And so sometimes it is a thankless job, but it is also a very rewarding job. If you all just keep in mind to do what you think is right, what you believe is right, and not to be afraid to do something. That I've encountered that in my position. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, public outcry and people that criticize your decisions or just criticize your actions. But as long as you can feel safe and honored and secure in the fact that you've done the right thing, then you're okay. Don't let any of that bother you. Go home and go to sleep and rest easy. Right? As long as you can do that, that's fine. You can look at yourself in the mirror and every morning knowing that you've done right, that's all you can ask. And that's all you can ask of God. Of course, with His guidance, it requires a lot of guidance and a lot of support, not only from yourself, but from your family, friends, and others. But, you know, it is a rewarding experience and a rewarding a job to serve the community. With that, you know, I am a state district court judge. I do have the authority, and I will administer the oaths. And when I do, you know, I'm not trying to be facetious. But when I administered those before, sometimes when I say, you know, I started out and I say, and then state your name. Please don't say, state your name. I started doing is going, you know, saying your name, and so I'm going to go like I, and I, and then bring up I, and I'm going to go here, and I, but not the problem, okay? So, with that in mind, I think I'll start, with Ms. Quintana. I think you're going to be first. I'm going to do it individually instead of in a group, okay? Sure. I think it's a lot more official and formal than, okay? So, Ms. Quintana, if you, why don't you come up a little bit forward, or just, if you want to utilize a mic. Okay, in the name and by the authority of the state of Texas, I need you to raise your right hand. You swear. I, Rachel Quintana. Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will faithfully execute the duties.
That I will faithfully execute the duties.
Of the office of Canseco Independent School District.
Of the trustees at large. Of the office of Canseco Independent School District Board of Trustees
at large
of the state of Texas
and will to the best of my ability preserve
protect
and defend
the Constitution
and laws
of the United States
and of this state
so help me God.
Congratulations. Again, I need you to raise your right hand to be sworn in. In the name and by the authority of the state of Texas, I, Annette Brigham, do solemnly swear
or affirm
that I will faithfully
That I will faithfully
execute the duties.
Execute the duties
of the office.
Of the office
of Canutillo.
Of Canutillo.
Independent School District.
Independent School District.
Board of Trustees.
Board of Trustees.
At large.
At large.
Of the state of Texas.
Of the state of Texas.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve.
Preserve.
Protect.
Protect.
And defend.
And defend.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
And laws.
And laws.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And of this state.
And of this state.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I, Armando Rodriguez,
Armando Rodriguez,
do solemnly swear,
or affirm,
that I will faithfully, execute,
the duties of the office,
of Canutillo, Independent School District, Board of Trustees, at large, of the state of Texas, and will, to the best of my ability, preserve. Protect. And defend. The Constitution. And laws. Of the United States. And of this state. So help me God. Congratulations. Would you raise your right hand to be sworn, and in the name and by the authority of the state of Texas, I, Blanca Trout, do solemnly swear, or affirm, that I will faithfully, execute the duties, of the office, of Canutillo Independent School District Board of Trustees, at large, of the state of Texas, and will to, the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend, the Constitution, and laws, of the United States, and of this state, so help me God.
No.
Christmas. Oh.
Of course, you're gonna have some mud in the background. It's photobomb. Photo.
Just so we get all the librarians.
Yeah, all the librarians.
Madam Chief, call a recess for another.
At this time, we'll call a recess so that we can let the board leave the podium.
Goodbye, Letty.
A 2-minute recess.
Yes.
Goodbye.
A 5-minute recess. We will reconvene in 5 minutes.
Much more.
Miss Trout's going by you.
Ready?
This one's not that. Is this one?
Do you have a pin, Mary? You do, huh?
There was. So you're not going to this tomorrow?
I don't know. I'm so
did you bring your mom? You brought your mom?
Okay. Here's my son. You ready, son? Ready, Miss Brigham? Sonia, for sake of time, we're going to go ahead and move to the, which item, Dr. Galavis, the
D1.
Human Resources 1, discussion and recommendation regarding the new elementary librarian FTE, Ms. Carrasco.
Do we have any questions on this item at this time?
I do have some questions.
Go ahead, Mr. Rodriguez.
I would like to hear her presentation as to why this is in the meeting. Yeah.
What did you have a question, Mr. Rodriguez?
I'm waiting for her to...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Good evening, Madam President, trustees, Dr. Collins. This item is on the agenda because there has been a request to bring back the full-time librarian position at DDE. If you recall, and I'll go over a little bit of history, during the spring, during budget season last year, we were tasked to garnish some savings in personnel. We adopted a program from Spring Branch ISD where librarians at the elementary level were being shared, and we were going to do this through attrition. We brought this to the Board of Trustees, presented as a cost-saving measure during our budget season. This was approved. Now, the request has come in to bring back the librarian at DDE. However, that amount of money is no longer in the budget. I did speak with our CFO and with the personnel committee, and of course now to bring it back, we have to treat it as a new FTE because that funds are no longer in the budget. So Ms. Pekarsky has informed me that in order to bring that back, we would need to take money from fund balance. So having said that, I'm here before you to request to bring the FTE for DDE back and then fund it from fund balance. We can do this, if we're able to do this with your approval, we can do this starting in January. If not, then we can certainly put it in the budget for our budget planning for next school year.
I have several questions. One, the first one being, I guess the amount that would be requested for the FTE would be, what would be the total amount?
On the FTE, that is dependent on the years of experience. It is on the teacher pay scale. So depending on the person applying for the position, it depends.
Let's say midpoint.
Midpoint, probably about $54,000.
And that's not, is that including health benefits and everything?
No, sir, that's well, base pay.
So what would be the other benefits?
It would be an additional 12% on top of that.
So the total is that?
About 7,000 more.
So 60?
Yes, sir, about 60.
61. And so what was the amount of money that we had in the deficit that we reached into fund balance last year?
We'll defer that to Ms.
Pekarsky. I'm sorry, are you talking about the last year 16 that was audited?
No, the actual fiscal year budget that was approved.
1.9. Or 17?
That was 1. In a deficit. 1.9 even? That we dipped in the fund balance.
Yes, sir.
So this would make it 1.961.
Yes.
And then the other question I have, do we know, I guess, have we done market, I guess, what the surrounding districts are doing? What is EPISD doing? What is Anthony doing in regards to elementary?
My understanding was that they have a full-time positions for the elementary. However, they are not in the same budget situation as we are.
So my question is, your statement would be that the districts in Region 19 elementary schools have one full-time
at each campus. That's correct. Yes, they do.
That's
and as I said, during the fall, during the spring, when we were tasked with finding ways to bring savings to the budget as far as personnel is concerned, I believe that there was a 14% reduction in budgets for departments. 10% across the board and budgets for campuses. So we were looking at any way possible to be able to bring in some savings. Of course, as Ms. Pekarsky has said several times, the biggest expense we have to the district, over 80% is in personnel cost. So in order to bring some significant savings to the district, we were having to look at reductions in personnel. If you recall, we did talk about various positions that some through attrition, we did not fill for this year. We went over the various positions during our budget meetings. And as I said, this program with sharing of librarians at the elementary level, remember that they all have a library aide at each campus. So there was this sharing of librarians. It was a program that was being used in Spring Branch ASD, where our associate superintendent came from. And that was her contribution for us to adopt that program as a cost-saving measure to the district. And that was discussed at length at cabinet and personnel. We did bring it to the board. And we said that we would accomplish this through attrition. We did have the librarian at the high school last year submit her resignation, and at that point we were able to start implementing the program that we had talked about and agreed on.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Go ahead, Ms. Rose.
So the $61,000, we're only talking from January, just a half a year.
That's what I was going to say.
So I think that number can't be correct.
That's correct.
Half a year.
I'm talking base salary.
Yeah, just all we're talking is a half a year. So we're not going to take $61,000. Correct, Ms. Pekarsky? Could you address what we are going to look at for half a year? Just half of that. Okay, so $32,000 ought to get us the librarian.
Ms. Searles, but keep in mind that was our midpoint. So if we get somebody with
a little more.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be between maybe 30 and 40.
No, $61,000.
Yeah, it's still going to be less than 60.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Ms. Brito.
I have angst on it coming out of fund balance. I do know we have lots of positions throughout the district that we could look into salary savings as far as to look at things like that, because I do think, and we are looking at more like 32,000, and I do think we might be able to do that. We really need to stop it going into fund balance. Also, additionally, like Ms. Canasco was saying, Ms. Canasco was saying that we have to make sure that this position is put in to the next year's budget. So if we make sure it's put into the next year's budget, I do think I would like Dr. Galabese, if you could have the finance department look and see if we could do some salary savings. I do believe we could get it without going into fund balance. Yes,
and you're correct, Trustee Ms. Berger, because that's the one thing that we're looking at, and what we really would like you to approve the FTE, and then we'll work together to find the money out of salaries or somewhere else. And if we do have to, in the end, fund balance, we'll come back to the board. But again,
excellent.
So go ahead, Ms. Rose.
Madam Chair, I move then to recommend a new elementary librarian FTE.
Okay. A second.
With the understanding that we will not take it out of fund balance, is that correct, Ms. Rose?
Well, you can.
No.
I guess the question I have, I mean, we go through a budget process, and then here we're in mid-year, and
okay.
But there still could be discussion unless there's a question.
Motion in a second.
There's a motion in a second, Sonia?
Yes, I'm sorry, but can we clarify what that was?
Sure,
my
Ms. Earls.
Motion was to, my recommendation is to get a new elementary librarian FTE starting in January.
All righty, Ms.
And was the second for that?
Okay. There was a second for Ms. Iglesias, yes.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Burton?
Yes.
Ms. Fritzi?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes.
At this time, we'll move to item E. Sonia, can you please read the item?
Yes, ma'am. E, consider and take action to elect and install board officers for the Board of Trustees. And this is a reorganization of the board. Present. Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would like to nominate Lori Searles as board president.
I second. There was a first and a second by Ms. Brigham first. No questions? Okay. Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Fritzi?
Well, first you have to cease to. You have to.
You have cease to nominations.
Cease
I'm
nominations
sorry.
Of under
I
president.
Don't cease nominations.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Okay. Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Fritzi?
No.
Ms. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes.
That's just his nomination.
That was to close the nomination process. Now you need to vote on the original. Sorry. You need to vote on the original motion, which I understood was made by Ms. Quintana and seconded by Ms. Borrego.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Borrego?
Yes.
Ms. Ritzy?
What are we voting on, Steve? I'm confused. I'm sorry.
Ms. Rolls for board president.
Okay. No.
Ms. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Earle will be president. Item 2, vice president.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, nominate Annette Brigham as vice president.
I'll second that.
There was a motion and a second.
Same process, we need to close nominations.
I move to close nomination.
I'll second.
Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Ms. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Ms. Trout?
Yes.
And Ms. Iglesias?
Yes.
Okay. Nominations will cease, and now this is for the actual position. Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Ms. Brigham will be the vice president.
Madam Chair,
Secretary?
I'd like to nominate Stephanie Fritz.
Secretary?
I'll second that.
And Madam Chair, I would like to nominate Rachel Quintana for the Secretary of the Board.
And I would like to nominate Missy Iglesias.
So okay, needed a second.
I'll second.
For Ms. Quintana?
For Ms. Quintana.
Okay.
And we have one more?
Ms. Iglesias.
And that was
second. From? I'll second that.
Ms. Ritzy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Can we go back over these three?
Yes, ma'am. We have a motion from Ms. Iglesias and Mr. Rodriguez to nominate Ms. Ritzy. Mm-hmm. We have a motion from Ms. Searles and Ms. Trout to nominate Ms. Quintana. We have a motion from Ms. Ritzy and Mr. Rodriguez to nominate Mary Iglesias.
Can I move to?
You can move to close nominations now.
Okay, I move to close nominations.
And I'll second that.
All right, so we will vote first on to close nominations.
Yes.
Ready? Okay, Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Ms. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Nominations will cease. Now we are going to go ahead and vote to have Ms. Ritzy as secretary. That will be the first vote. Ms. Brigham?
No.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Ms. Quintana?
No.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Ms. Searles?
No.
Ms. Trout?
No.
And Ms. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion fails. We will now go on to the nomination of Ms. Quintana as secretary. Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
That is unanimous. Item number 5, new business, a meeting minutes. Number 1, agenda review of October the 12th, 2016.
Is there any discussion on the agenda review from October the 12th the minutes from the meeting?
I make a motion to go ahead and accept the meeting, the minutes.
Do we have a second for that?
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to accept the minutes of the agenda review meeting of October 12, 2016.
Ms. Brigham?
I'll abstain.
Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Abstain.
Ms. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item number B, curriculum and instruction. Number one, discussion and possible action regarding general pregnancy-related services on campus, CEHI waiver. Ms. Garcia?
And the purpose is to allow them to come onto campus and that we can provide instruction and then also still count that as part of the attendance. However, if the physician deems it not necessary for them or that I'm not allowed to come onto campus, then the teacher will go to the home. And we've never had to use the waiver in the past, but we've tried to apply for it so that we can have it as a backup, so in case the need arises, then it's already been approved and going through the process.
Do we have a motion?
Yes, ma'am. We have a motion to go ahead.
You would like to
make make a motion.
Ms. Fritzy moves to accept the general pregnancy-related service on campus waiver.
I'll second.
Yes. And Ms. Iglesias second. Thank you.
There was a motion and a second. Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Ms. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Truck?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item C, Business Services Number 1, Presentation of Annual Financial Report. For the record, the presenter should be RPC, not RCP. And that was my mistake. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is AJ Bowers with RPC CPAs. Actually, there's a stack of items here that are actually for the board, so I want to get those handed out to you really quickly. Okay, so we'll go ahead and make this quick. This is Michael White. He's a partner out of our El Paso office, and Sonia Reynolds here. She's a manager out of our El Paso office as well. So we're going to just kind of do a real quick run through of the financial. So there's two things that you're getting. One is the financial statement itself. That's this about 60-page document for the school district audit for 2016. The other is actually the presentation itself, and we'll get that to you. We'll go over just a few highlights of the financials when it comes down to the financial statement numbers, and there's some required communication we're going to give to you, as well as the opinions and everything else for that. So on that presentation, which is on PowerPoint, and handed out to you, I'm just going to go through a few pages. So if you go to slide 3, which is your first one, that kind of talks about the timeline. And just so you know how long this process is, we signed the engagement letter June 2nd. Of 2016, and we kind of started meeting with the district all the way down into about from June 15th up through today, and it's about a 6-month process. So it's been very invasive for Ms. Mikarski and the district. So I want to thank them for their help in able to achieve this project. On page 6, okay, we're going to skip through some of these other highlights. But on page 6, I just wanted to go over kind of your net position, which is on the net position itself. So that's on the for the district as a whole. So when you talk about your fixed assets, your debt, everything else that comes into the financial statements for the district as a whole, your overall net position, there's a few items in there that I wanted to highlight. One is there's a decrease in net position from year over year of about $2.2 million. that decrease, a good portion of that sitting in unrestricted. Now, what unrestricted means is it's money that can be used for anything. It's not restricted for some purpose. It's not sitting there for educational purposes or debt service. And that decreased about $2.7 million over year over year to about $1.2 million. Part of that adjustment is going to be due to the net pension liability. And what that is that part of the measurement in the Texas retirement system is the retirement that you're going to pay to folks year over, you know, once they retire from the school district. And as that liability grows, it comes from the equity piece. So a year ago, or 2 years ago, it was put up at the state level, and that's your proportionate share. So just knowing what kind of goes into that, that's kind of on a very high level for those pieces. $28.2 million of that net position is really invested in your fixed assets that are able to pay for that debt. And then $3.8 million is restricted for future debt service obligations. Okay. One highlight on the general fund budget is basically on the variance itself. So what the final budget was for your general fund and what you actually spent, there's a $3.2 million positive variance from what was budgeted. Okay, so from the expense side, now that was one thing to look at. On page 7, it's got the 3-year trend of your total cash. And so it goes, and remember, there's a lot of bond proceeds that were spent over the last couple of years. So the cash has moved from $48 million in 2014 down to $18.5 million in 2016.
So for clarification, just so someone who's looking at this and doesn't realize that the reason it's $48 million in 2014 is due to the fact we had a bond issue, and that was pumped up with bond funds?
Yes, that includes all of the cash that you had on hand at that
exactly.
time. So the portion was the new school and everything else that you purchased with those bond funds. That's why.
So that was not the normal amount we would generally speak have. And so the huge drop that you see in the consecutive years is due to the bond fund, not due to someone wasting money.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
The other couple areas that I want you to look at, because those are really high-level items as the district as a whole, you probably operate more when you look at your general fund pieces. Okay, so that's where the majority of your operations are coming from. So if you look at page 8 and then page 9, we'll look at what the general fund is really quickly. Page 8, if you look, there's two lines. One has got your revenue line, and then one has your expenditure line. And so as you can see in 2014, expenditures were higher than revenues by about $6 million. Okay, now those have kind of trued up to where they're much closer over the last couple of years. Okay. And then in page 9 has your general fund balance that goes from 2013 to 2016. And the fund balance is basically your residual amount that's sitting in your general fund. Okay?
I understand,
because
we have some members of your audience and taxpayers. We want to make sure that you guys see what we see.
Oh, I had brought it, so. Okay, so those are some of the financial highlights that I wanted to go through. There's a couple more graphs in there that you can look at, just for a little bit of information for you. If you move to page 14, I want to highlight something that's different in this financial statement. I want to talk about really briefly about the process of what is still ongoing and how we're finishing up. The financial statement in the past has always been the annual financial report that's submitted to TEA. In the current year, the finance office has been working extremely hard to actually present a comprehensive annual financial report. So what that's considered is called a CAFR. Now that is an actual award that is given to government, local state government, financial statements. It's a very prestigious award, and it adds about 40 pages to the financial statement. A lot of statistical items and other information that goes into it, and it gets submitted to the GFOA, which is the Government Finance Officers Association, and they issue a certificate for achievement for excellence. So this year, the district has decided that they want to strive for that award, and so I applaud you for that. That's a really big deal. So as we go through that, we've got two people in our office who are basically are part of our QC process, and they're going through those other sections. So this financial statement's in draft form because some of the intro pieces, like the letter of transmittal that we've received from Ms. Pakarski, and then the statistical sections in the back are still being reviewed. The GFOA kicks them back for just about anything. That checklist is 100 pages long, and it actually goes through things such as on the title page, this says annual financial report. They reject it right there because it doesn't say comprehensive annual financial report. So we're going through with a fine-tooth comb in order to be able to strive for that award. So I want to give the credit to the district on that. I don't believe there's any other districts in the El Paso area that do that. Hopefully we're able to get that. As part of that, there's also an ASBO. The ASBO organization offers an award, and it's considered the gold standard for financial reporting. So just so you know what's going on with the district. So now we'll get into some of the single audit results. Okay, so the single audit results on page 15. Under federal guidance, you spend over $750,000 with the federal awards, so therefore we're required to do a single audit. So we audit a program. In the current year, there were two programs audited. One was the Child Nutrition Cluster, the other was the Migrant Education Program. Those two programs are about 53% of the federal expenditures. We're required to test 20% because you're a low-risk auditee. We tested 53% of the federal dollars, and ultimately we have an unmodified opinion on those, which is a big deal. An unmodified opinion means that there was no area where we felt that we couldn't gain sufficient audit evidence in order to report on compliance. Now, we do things on a sample basis, so it doesn't mean that we look at every transaction or 100% of anything, but what we did look at, we felt that the district complied in all material respects with those compliance requirements for those programs. In addition to that, there are no findings for the federal awards. So there was no issues of material weakness or significant deficiencies over controls over administering the grants or any sort of non-compliance that would have affected those. So that's a good job to the district. This, the next page, we'll actually talk about the audit report itself. The audit report itself is about three pages in front of this financial statement. They give assurance to people that says, we did an audit in accordance with government accepted accounting standards, and we're able to render an unmodified opinion. An unmodified opinion means that nothing's in there that's going to materially affect the user of those financial statements. Again, it's not 100% assurance. It's not that we tested every transaction, but the financial statements that's given to us by the district are able to be relied upon to a material amount. So it also means there are no audit areas where we couldn't gain sufficient audit evidence. So those are kind of the really big deals of the financial statement themselves. And so we'll go through, there's the next page, page 17, talks about the two other auditor reports in addition to that independent auditor report that we had. The first one is the GAGIS report on internal controls. GAGIS is generally accepted government auditing standards. So under that report, we're required to look at internal controls as part of our planning and other parts to understand what is the district doing and to report on anything that would be considered a material weakness. And a material weakness, what that means is that if there's any finding or internal control issue that rises to the level that it merits board's attention and could materially affect the district, the next level is a significant deficiency. The definition of that is still merits board's attention but doesn't rise to the level of material weakness. And then there would be a material non-compliance, and that would be if you didn't comply with a debt covenant or a grant of some sort. Those are the three reportable items underneath that report. I'm happy to say there's nothing to report. So the district's done a great job by not having any of those findings. That last report is a report on compliance requirements having direct material effect on the major programs, and we talked about them in the single audit reports. That's the federal award report under the Single Audit Act. And again, there was an unmodified opinion and no federal award findings. So the last few pages, we'll go through these really quickly, is required communication that the auditor is to give to the board under auditing standards. So we're supposed to tell you, so the way that this lays out is on the left side of the line is kind of what has been asserted to us, and the right side is what is our response. So I'm going to focus on the right side of that line as we go. The audit was performed under AICPA and the GAS, government auditing standards, to obtain reasonable and not absolute assurance. So we're giving a reasonable assurance. It's no guarantees, no absolutes regarding to that. Also, we are responsible for communicating significant matters to you. That's what we're doing now. Okay. The next page, the plan, scope, and the time of the audit. As we talked about, it's about a 6-month process, and we're happy to report that we've been able to perform the audit in those time frames that we've set out. There's a few changes here and there, but from the beginning of the time was always to present here in November. The regulatory deadline is the end of the month, and so we'll be able to submit by then. The next page is significant accounting policies and unusual transactions. So the underneath the audit, the finance department will assert to us their policies and their procedures and how the numbers are compiled. And we're supposed to look at it and say that nothing has come to our attention that we feel is out of the norm. So you have told us that, and we've looked at them, and they're consistent with prior years, and they're consistent with the industry. On page 21, other parts that you give to us is the estimates and judgments. So when we talk about that net pension liability, so that, for example, that's an estimate. So what we call a soft number. It's not exact because there's a lot of actuarial items that go into it. There's investment, return on investment estimates that go into it. So it's not like I can go to a bank statement and say exactly what this number is. So there's certain items that are estimates. So items like your allowance for uncollectible receivables, the depreciation on your buildings, your fixed assets, your current portion of your accrued compensated absences, so those liabilities of how much leave are we expecting to pay in 2017, okay? And then related items to the pensions. And so when we looked at what those estimates are, we feel that they're reasonable for what you've given to us. On the next page, 22, continues to talk about more of the estimates, and there's a few new items that, you know, ultimately the disclosures are consistent in the financial statements. They're consistent from prior years. There are some new accounting standards that are enclosed in there, and again, we feel that they're reasonable with the industry. Page 23, we're required to report if there's any sort of difficulties encountered with the audit. So to the board, if we had challenges being able to produce our audit, then we would inform you. We didn't have any significant difficulties encountered in the audit, and I do want to again give the finance department credit because you lost the finance director during the audit, so that always presents a little challenge, but we were able to work really hard with the group to be able to overcome that. The next page is any sort of audit adjustments that were given to us or that we don't post. Ultimately, the numbers that were given to us, there may have been a few adjustments here and there as the books were being closed out, but all adjustments have been posted to the financial statements, and there's nothing that we feel was an unrecorded misstatement. So at times, you might have we might find that there's a number that needs to be adjusted, and we would propose it, but if it wasn't material, we would pass on it, and so there's no past adjustments. So the numbers have been asserted to us, and we feel they're comfortable are in the financial statements. 25. Potential effect on financial statements. So we, as part of our audit, we always confirm with legal counsel and things like that. We get those legal letters back and we read through minutes and everything else subsequent to year end. And you know, there's a blurb in there about potential proceedings which are normal, but there's nothing that would cause us to record some sort of liability or claim against the district. Disagreements with management, we're pleased to say that we didn't have any disagreements with management. Because if we did, we'd have to talk with you about those. You know, we haven't had any significant disagreements with management. Okay. Representations, as part of auditing standards, we're required to get a representation letter, which basically asserts to us that you told us the truth, you've given us the minutes, you haven't falsified any documents, anything like that. So we receive that in a separate letter. And ultimately, if management is unwilling to sign that or was unwilling to sign that, we would report that to you because we have to discuss that. But we don't have any anticipation of issues on that. 27, consultations with other accountants. We're not aware of any other sort of consultations with other accountants, any other sort of what we would call opinion shopping, saying, hey, you know, we want to try and get a better opinion or something like that. We're not aware of anything. You told us there was not any. So we're pleased to report that. And we're almost done. We've got a couple pages left of the required items. Material communication, written communications. So at the beginning of the audit, there was an engagement letter and a contract that was presented to the board. There was also a letter that we would have sent to you, basically laying out what the audit is, what it entails, what the responsibilities are, and then this communication are the required ones. So it's a way of saying, as the board, you've been informed about our audit. There's been nothing else that has been provided to you or necessary to provide to you. Material uncertainties, nothing has come to our attention that makes us think the district won't be here next year. So, you know, classes in session, you're 6 months through the year, there's nothing there that says that, you know, you're not going to be here next year. Fraud and illegal acts, we're required to inform to you if anything was reported to us. So the district has informed us of no material fraud or illegal acts. So that's kind of our attention there. As external auditors, we're required to be independent. So we do an independence evaluation with all of our folks every single year. And this is us letting you know that we are independent of Kankakee School. And the final part on the required communication is those deficiencies in internal controls. Well, we talked about material weaknesses and significant deficiencies, and there are none noted. It does not mean that there's some that have not been detected, but based on our audit procedures and the risk, there are none noted in the financial statements. Additional recommendation on page 31 is just, you know, continue to work and attend on the CPE. I've seen Martha DePue, she's involved in the AGA. I've presented over at the AGA, so seeing her over there. But continue to go to those, because the GASB statements are coming quickly, okay? They're up to 82 now. So this year we implemented 3, and I think there's a couple more coming next year. So just stay up to date on those always changing requirements. Continue working and developing the new staff to serve the district. So again, you know, as you said, we changed finance director, so it's always good to just help them get up to speed and everything that you need. And continue working on internal processes in order to ensure timely and accurate financial reporting. Okay? As of today, it's a period end numbers, just so that you have timely and accurate financial information. So just continue to strive on those. There were no other comments that we needed to even discuss. So I just want to say thank you to the district. I want to say thanks to Martha and the team. And just also just let you know that we appreciate the opportunity to serve you, because we're here to serve the district, to serve the kids. And we appreciate the relationship we've been able to build over the last couple of years. And we want it to continue on a regular basis. So please, if you have questions, just let us know. So thank you very much.
Are there any questions? I do have a couple. In regards to, so you're saying there's zero findings and there's zero comments, right? There's no. The other question I have in regards to the fund balance over, I guess our policy is over a 3 month, and we're at, what risk do you see there?
To commit 3 months worth?
No, well, that's what our policy is, right?
To have a reserve.
Okay, so ultimately, are you talking in your general fund specifically?
Well, right now, we don't have that, and we've kept on dipping in the fund balance. So can you talk about those risks?
Ultimately, you know, as you can see, I'll just go really quickly back to page 8.
Yeah.
Okay. So if your policy is to have 3 months worth of reserves there, all right, in order to be able to operate, then and you're not meeting those requirements, and if you keep dipping into fund balance, eventually you get some sort of, you know, there might be emergency funding, you apply for other sorts types of grants, you have to watch your services in which you're providing, you know, and anything along those lines. If you look at page 8, that's revenues and expenses, okay? So your revenue line is your solid line.
I was looking at 10.
You're looking
just in regards to.
Oh, okay. Well, I can look at that. This is total fund balance breakdown of the district as a whole, not just specifically the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So ultimately, part of this here, and as we were talking, there's actually a slight adjustment that we're going to make. The blue section, okay, which is talking to unassigned fund balance. You talked about a $1.9 million that was actually from the budget this year, so that'll actually move to an assigned balance, okay? That's a slight tweak in what's in there, because you're anticipating using that, all right? So as you go through those, and if you look at your fund balance, the green here, the restricted, is $8.8 million. That's restricted for capital items, restricted for debt service, restricted for your Medicaid funds or something along those lines. That's all it can be used for, all right? The unassigned portion, the blue, that's primarily what your general fund is. So you're at $10 million. But if we go back to that slide that I was talking about 2 slides ago,
What I want to know is the overall risk. I mean, we got a negative outlook by one of our rating agencies because looking at that, and what consequences. I mean, if you get a downgrade of a bond rating,
your interest rates go up.
So you're
you're servicing debt at a higher expense.
And what other risks are there if we don't get our act together as a district?
That's the primary one that you see, but as you go and you operate through there, again, this is just the way that other districts have, you know, you do a lot of school districts, and when they've had those, they see where you have to start making hard decisions. Really hard decisions when it comes to compensation, when it comes to continuing to open up new schools or to provide additional services, or, you know, those other types of items. Do I see that in, you know, immediate, not in an emergency fashion, but that's decisions you have to make. But the bond rating is definitely one. And I just presented something just like this to a school district 2 days ago with these lines, just like these, okay, with the revenues and expenses. And they went over their 3 years, and in 2014, their expenditures outpaced their revenues, and they got downgraded. 2015, their revenues outpaced their expenditures, and they got upgraded. And in 2016, they have a negative outlook, and their expenditures outpaced their revenues. So you can, and they correlated directly to the operations and their bonds. Now that, again, that's for the bond company to work with you on. You know, but that's just, we're reporting on the past, and that's just kind of the overall.
That's all I have, Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions? No? So it looks like this is only presentation.
You know, I did have one question. We talked about we're doing the more in-depth bond program. I mean, not bond program. The CAFR.
Yes.
One of the things that I would like to see as a board goal. Have you heard of Checkbook New York, NYC? So they have pretty much every contract, so it's checkbooknewyorknyc.com, and they have every contract, every, you know, where they're at in the contract, how much is paid. They have every expenditure pretty much being transparent with the community. I know that on one, I don't know if it's first requirement, for us to get a higher, I guess more points, we have to have our register on there.
Yes, check register on the web.
And we do.
We do.
So I guess, how do we make it more user friendly? Have you heard of any type of things like that? That's more. That's the one that I've seen at a conference where I mean, you're able to see who's getting paid and how much. You have all salaries on there, so it's transparent to the community.
I have not personally worked with that site, and that seems more of an operational item, more so than it does like a financial reporting item, unless it's more, yeah, you know, it might be internal financial reporting, more so than, say, audit results. So that'd be something that I think Dr. Karski's group would,
okay,
you know.
I think it would be nice to look at it as a board and then see if we could do something like that as well. That's it.
Any other questions? Mary? Thank you very much, sir, and thank you, Ms. Vikarski, and your entire department. Feels real nice to have my findings. 2 years in a row.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Sonia, that'll take us.
Item number 2, monthly financials.
Good night, gentlemen. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have any questions on the monthly financials? No questions heard. Is there a motion?
Do we have to approve the annual financial?
It just says presentation.
It only says presentation, but...
What is, because our deadline, what's the deadline that we have to give it to TEA?
It's November
27th. So we need to go ahead and...
We need to approve it.
So, Ms. Gomez, would you please, going forward, maybe remember that should be written differently,
yes,
instead of just presentation? Thank you.
I make a motion to approve the annual financial report as presented by RPC and Well, that's my motion.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
And I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Quintana. Motion made and seconded to accept our annual financial report as presented by RCP and Ms. Bukarski.
RPC.
RPC.
RCP.
Yes.
Them.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item number 2, monthly financials.
Are there any questions on the monthly financials?
So moved.
I'll second.
Thank you. Motion made and seconded to approve as presented.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item number 3, monthly warrant report.
Any questions on the monthly warrant report? I called Ms. Bukarski with my questions. I'm sure they'll be forthcoming with answers. Any others? No? Do we have a motion?
I so move.
Thank you, Ms. Quintana. Second?
Second.
Thank you, sir.
Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item number 4, monthly donations.
So moved.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to approve the monthly donations.
Mrs. Brigham?
Yes.
Mrs. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Number 5, quarterly investment report.
So moved.
Thank you, sir.
I'll second.
Thank you, ma'am. Motion made and seconded to approve the quarterly investment report.
Mrs. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item number 6, discussion and recommendation regarding the maintenance renewal of the ProLogic Technology System, a current vendor providing Teams information systems maintenance and support district-wide as set forth in the signed agreement from the 2016-2017 school year. Total amount is $99,211. Mr. Flores?
So this is the annual renewal for Teams. The system that we use for student information systems, business, HR.
Yes, sir.
Is due. So there's a couple of price increases. Did you see the second page on it? We're removing $7,500 in programming services from them, and the idea is that we're going to get trained this year and we're going to do this in-house, and that way we can save those $7,500 next year.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And in regards to this Teams contract, are we looking at continuing to renew it for the next couple of years, or are we going to go look at a different system?
This is an extension for just 1 year. What we're trying to do is to extend the life of the system in terms of if there's any modules that we are not fully implementing, we're trying to implement those so we can get very valuable.
Because I know we've had issues with Teams.
Normal issues is a big system. A lot of the business runs out of that one. I have experience with other ERPs, not in the public sector, but the private sector. I can tell you that they're not, as perfect. To me, in my personal opinion, it's a good system.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I've had in-depth with Teams. I agree with Mr. Flores. When you look at ERP, which is a huge, it's multifaceted, and especially when we have changes in personnel and things like that, And any vendor will come in and say that they have something better. However, the student side, it's meshed totally with TSDS, which is now going to be the new system of Texas. They've been sitting there. There's only two others in the state that are going to be bringing in TSDS, which, so I really think, absolutely can look at it, but I think we need to be, you know, the old adage, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And we have a level of expertise here in the district now. So I think if we do go look at that, we need to be careful and we need to be very wary of vendors.
Would you like to make a motion, Ms. Berger?
I move that we accept this. I'd like to make a motion, but I don't know how to do it.
Just
I make
move,
a motion to accept.
You
as
move
as well.
To accept.
Okay. I make the
no,
motion.
No, you move.
I move to accept the item as presented.
The item as presented.
And I'd second it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, ladies. Motion made and seconded. Ms. Gomez.
Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item number 7, discussion and recommendation regarding the approval of payments to El Paso Arc Electric, Inc. for the emergency repair on the Thumbkill High School geothermal loop located in the practice field repaired for performed in October. Total amount is $25,838.28.
I so move to go ahead for the item as presented.
Thank you, Ms. Ritzy.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Quintana. Ms. Gomez? Are there any questions? Anybody have any? Okay.
Ms. Bruno?
Yes.
Ms. Ritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes. Yes.
I think we're going to have to separate.
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, members of the board, for your support.
Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, before we go to the next item, I'd like to put on record Mr. Baskin. And I've never met the man, but I feel like I've met him because of all the wonderful things that people have told me, and where he was one of the original Canotillo attorneys and helping the district. So I'd like to. Anybody would like to say anything special on his behalf to his family?
Thank you, Dr. Galavis. I'd like to be the first to say it. When I was elected to the board in, don't look at me like that, Ms. Quinta, back in 1822. No, back in 1993. Mr. Baskin had already been our attorney since eternity, it seemed like. He was a wonderful man. He guided us well. He always looked like Abe Lincoln to me. He's tall, slender, true blue guy. He took us through our beginnings, and he was always there with us. We used to meet in the high school. Miss Brigham and Miss Quintana will remember. And he always liked the burritos we served him. The lunch ladies would make the potato burritos, and he was happy to get them. We had a long, illustrious time with him, and I know that heaven's probably a happier place today, but the rest of us have got a tear and a little sadder. We will greatly miss Mr. Baskin and our deepest felt grief to his family.
Ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
I went to the service today.
Thank you, Ms. Brigham.
It was very well attended.
Thank you.
I think every district, past superintendents were there, people from Fort Hancock, all the way, I mean, everywhere came in. Anthony, you know, Faye, so many people. And there were so many school districts, board members that were there, board members from, you know, different districts came in. He was extraordinary.
He was.
It was very nice, and his wife is a New Yorker, so I always got along with her well, but the family, it was very sudden, so.
Yes, it was sudden.
But I did thank the family for all.
Thank
the
you, Ms. Brigham. Ms. Quintana, you want to?
was a good man. He was very unassuming, very, very humble.
Mary, do you want to give a little kick of the shoes? Well, Mr. Rodriguez, you remember?
Yes, I remember Larry did give a lot to his district, and so may you rest in peace.
Thank you, Mary. We will all miss him, and I'd like to have a moment of silence that we all just stop and give our heartfelt thanks for the time we had and what went on. And I thank you all for that moment of silence. Thank you, Dr. Galavis. And happy Thanksgiving. Happy new board members, Miss Annette, Mr. Rodriguez, Miss Blanca.
And Miss Quintana.
Well, Miss Quintana, you're just family. We wouldn't know what to do with that, Miss Quintana. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
And happy birthday.
Dang, it's a big day. Happy birthday. Appreciate it, and God bless you all. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a good time with your families.
Thank you. Good night,
everyone. Item 6.
Item 6 adjournment. The time is 8:11.
Thank you very much, Ms. Gomez. And thank you, ladies, for coming in the audience.
Trustee Megan, there's something I need you to sign.
Because you're a messy girl. Ms. Iglesias, Ms. Brigham, do you want your copies of the figures? If not, I'm going to put them to recycle.
This one I'm going to
okay.
Okay. Get them from the
thank you.
Is that what you Yeah. I'm making a stack of recyclers.
That's
where
we're all out of
the next meeting is the 7th and then the 13th.
Ms. Rose, do you have recycled?
Just a
better be careful.
All I can tell you is you better be careful.
You will be too.
Esperanza. Esperanza. You know my mom will be there. She's a number.
Who's that? That's what I think we
should go. It's very strange.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Is that true?
There's no one
missing.
Miss Sonia, did you stop this already?
Okay.
They're
online.
I usually see them. Anyway.
Sonia's going to cost you.
Yes.